Welcome to the Finding Refuge podcast. My name is Michelle Cassandra Johnson, and I am glad you're here. The Finding Refuge podcast emerged from a desire to have conversations about the intersection of grief and liberation. This podcast explores how we can find refuge during unsettling and uncertain times. It features guests from various backgrounds, lineages, and lived experiences. I hope you enjoy listening. Hi, friends. I am excited to share this episode with you. I had an opportunity to interview Yetta Myrick, and Yetta and I haven't met in person yet, although we've been in many spaces together, and I'm sure we will meet in person very soon. Yetta Myrick is the mother of a young adult son diagnosed with autism, ADHD, and intellectual disability. She is the founder and president of DC Autism Parents, a nonprofit organization in the District of Columbia. Yetta has served as the CDC's ACT Early Ambassador to the District of Columbia since 2016, led the DC COVID-19 response team from 2020 to 2022, and is currently leading the DC ACT Early team. In 2022, she co-authored and self-published Mr. Marshall's Block Party. Yetta leads the DC Autism Collaborative's Developmental Monitoring, Screening, and Evaluation Subgroup, co-leads the Family Advisory Group, Outreach and Education Subgroup, and the Community Resources and Support Subgroup. She is a parent, educator, and advocate on the ECHO Autism Hub team at Children's National Hospital. She co-leads Family Voices United to End Racism against CYSHCN and families. She has served as the co-investigator for the building capacity in the African American ASD community and patient-centered outcomes research. In 2021, she was appointed to the Interagency Autism Coordinating Community by the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Additionally, Yetta is a member of the DC Developmental Disabilities Council and was awarded the 2024 Advocate in Equity Award by the DC Developmental Disability Awareness Month Planning Committee. She holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in Communication Studies from the Catholic University of America. So, Yetta is busy and has done many things, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome, Yetta, to the podcast for our conversation. I'm so excited we're doing this, and I'm happy you're here. So thanks for being here with me today.
Thanks for having me, Michelle. For those who are listening, I just want to say, and I shared this with you, Michelle, I really wanted this to happen. I don't know why I wanted this to happen, but I wanted this to happen. And I remember saying to myself, I need to be on Michelle's podcast, but I don't know why. Because if folks who have been following you, like I'm sure have like listened to all the episodes and all these different people that you have had on. And I was like, I just need to be there. I need to contribute to this body of work, but I just had this feeling that I needed to do this podcast. And then we were having a conversation. I didn't even ask you, you asked me. And I was like, Michelle, you just do not know. Like, I was like very giddy about it. So I'm really excited to be here.
That makes me happy. And I remember that conversation and you didn't ask me. We were talking and I said, you should be on my podcast or something like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, things are working at times and often we can't see them working in the background. And so I'm excited that we're here now in this way. And I'm trying to remember, I know we haven't met in person, but you have been in some of my offerings, many of them actually. And I don't know if the first one was through Tracy Stanley or if it was through Adriana, or I did something with Tracy that was a book talk, I think. And I think you were there, but I also know, you know, Adriana.
Yes.
Yes. Adriana, who's been a guest on this podcast as well. But we met a little while ago and have been in many spaces since that time.
Yeah, I can't remember now that you're asking. I can't remember like what came first. We talk about the chicken or the egg. Like I cannot
Yeah.
remember. I think things were kind of like happening around the same time period. But what I can say in terms of us getting connected on an energetic level, there were two different spaces. So Adriana had done the podcast and I work with her. She is my like I work with her one-on-one, like doing yoga nidra practices. And we actually met in the pandemic virtually. I don't know if you know, we have not met in person either. I've not met Tracy in person either. Like these are my women, whether they know it or not,
Right.
like energetically. And so I got connected through Adriana, through my brother, who's actually based in Philly where she lives. And he was doing her breathe and rest practice, a space for Black folks in the pandemic. And we would do our movie night virtually because I'm based in DC. And then, like, no, it wasn't Friday nights. It was Monday nights. Now that I think about it, something he was doing another class on Friday nights. And I ended up joining that class too, another space. But he was on Monday nights. He'd be like, oh, we do our daily Zoom in the pandemic where my brother, my mom, and I would be on chatting every day at 4 o'clock. And, you know, we'd be on for hours. It's a pandemic. Like, where was anybody going? Like, so much Zoom. And I remember, like, at 6:30, he's like, oh, I gotta get ready to go. I gotta get ready for breathe and rest. And I'm like, what is this breathe and rest? Like, this went on for like a month and a half. And finally, I said, my brother's Matthew. And I said, Matthew, like, what's happening? What you doing? Oh, we're doing yoga nidra and a restorative practice. I said, well, can I come? Like, I need some restorative yoga and yoga nidra. And so he was like, yeah, sure. And he like sent me the link and I was hooked, right? And it's so funny because I find this in a lot of the folks who are in doing yoga, specifically, you know, women of color, and like this idea of like yoga, and like when people like actually tell us to lay down, it's like, what you want me to lay down? Like what's going
Right.
on with this? And I don't think I'm speaking out. I've heard like other folks say
Yeah.
this. And so it was just a lovely space to be in. And I felt things like starting to shift and change for me. Actually, I've found a lot of things changing for me when it comes to making sure that I'm getting proper sleep and resting in general. And so it just was a natural place for me to be. So I'm working with Adriana and she says, oh, I did this podcast. I'm gonna share it with you. And it was with you. I said, okay, I'm gonna listen to it. What happened? Life did not happen. Meanwhile, I do some other work in the disability space because I have a now 20-year-old son who's diagnosed with autism, ADHD, and intellectual disability. So I had a whole other career working communications, was a studio technician at C-SPAN. Yes, the C-SPAN, not CNN, C-SPAN. And worked there for 11 years, shifted gears in 2016, and went to the local children's hospital, worked in their autism center. And then, you know, you figure out like what works, what doesn't work. Like, knew I wanted to not research is very important. Like, I do work in the research sphere as a parent, right? And making sure specifically that Black and African American families are getting linked into that and in other ways, right? And so I ended up doing some work with the organization called Family Voices, which is a national network of family health information centers. And in the pandemic, because of all that was happening in the world, many of the things that you talk about in your work, Michelle, we started this project called Family Voices United to End Racism Against Children and Youth with Special Healthcare Needs. And part of that project, one, was educating the network. And the reality is that there are, in these organizations, oftentimes, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn when I say this, run by white women, right? Because they often aren't being compensated, right? And so they're doing this work, very few people of color. We're in these weekly conversations. At that point, I was working at the Maryland family organization. And I was on the call and we were just having like open conversation about what was happening in the world in the midst of the pandemic, George Floyd's murder, like all like things back to back to back. We're hearing about like the numbers of folks who are, dying, specifically people of color dying from the pandemic, who, are not able to access resources. Like it was just terrible. And, we started being very open and honest about like how we were not surprised about these numbers, like Black women on the call, me being one of them, my colleague, Nancy Labogo. I'm giving you a shout out, girl. She and I have been leading the project from the beginning. And so she actually, and this is where I get back to you, I always get back. She was talking about seeing like the amount of changes I made in terms of like mindset work, because I do have a life coach. Shout out to Natalie Miller, who's an amazing life coach that I've been working with since 2018. And then also connecting with Adriana and Tracy and Octavia Raheem, right, who were doing these rest practices, and things started to shift. And she noticed it. And so about 9 months to a year ago, she said, and I was thinking about this, similarly to what happened with this podcast situation, I was like, I want to do something about rest for the project, because the project has multiple parts to it. So there, we start off doing these town halls where we were educating the network, and we had different topics. We had a family, not just family advisory, but an advisory group, because we have youth with disabilities who participated, and family members, caregivers. And then we had this toolkit, and we call it FAMU. So yes, that is homage to FAMU in Florida, because Nancy loves that. loves to give us a, an acronym that everybody will remember. And so we are always trying to update the toolkit with resources to help educate not only the network, because it is open to support folks. And I was like, I think I need to do something about rest with all the resources that I've like basically accrued from, doing this work personally. And Nancy says, yeah, to like, I think we need to do, like, could you do something about all of that, like your rest and all these things? And I was like, oh my gosh, like I was thinking about this the other day and I wanted to have this conversation with you and you like brought it up. So fast forward, I'm like doing a deeper dive and I end up finding the DR Works website, which is your former work that you, your anti-racism work that is available, right, still. And we've incorporated that into the Family Voices United website. And yeah, I started building out these resources. So it was crazy because I'm like, Michelle Cassandra Johnson, that name is familiar to me. Wait a minute. And then I like go down a rabbit hole and I'm like looking through emails from Adriana. I was like, okay, like this is weird. Here I have Michelle and I'm finding her this way, but also like 9 months, a year before Adriana sent me this podcast. So I immediately then go and listen. I go on your website, do a deep dive. I'm like, oh, she's doing this thing for Tracy. Oh, reclamation looks good. Like it was like literally last summer, I was just like all about Michelle. And that's why I'm like, yeah, I don't know which thing I went to first, but I was like signing up for all the things.
I love this. You have signed up for all the things, which
Yeah.
it's been really wonderful to be in so many spaces with you and to get to know you and to hear more about the work you do in the world and your practice and more about your life. And it's one of the things that I admire about you is it seems like you commit to self-study and to practice. And once you find something that speaks to you, and I just think there's dedication and devotion in that. And it makes me think about the path of yoga or whatever path people might be on, the spiritual path of yoga, and that we need a practice. This is something I say all the time, that we need a practice. And you seem, from what I have witnessed, to be invested in your practice, not just for yourself, but for all of the people around you and for the projects and the work that you do in the world. This is what I've observed. So
Yeah,
I just want to
no, I think
uplift
that's
that.
very true, and I appreciate, especially with us being in spaces virtually, right, that you have picked up on that, and like know that, yes, like that is so important to me, because one of the things that I've learned is that I can't do all the things that I want to do or even figure out what I want to do unless I'm well rested, unless I'm like taking care of myself. And like, how do you take care of yourself but to know yourself, right? And so in order to know yourself, you have to be sometimes in these uncomfortable spaces with yourself and figuring that out, and sitting and being silent. And that was one of the things that like came up for me during the pandemic, was like, how do I like create this space for myself? Like allow myself to be held, because one of the conversations that Adriana and I have had is that like very early on, like it's on the record, like one of the resources I created, we actually recorded a conversation that we had to share out about our journeys. And we she talks about, and we laugh about it now, but like in the pandemic, she's like, yeah, can you like take 5 minutes? I was like, girl, I have 5 minutes. I'm on these Zooms back to back. Like, and I don't even know how like that happened, but it happened, I think, to me and so many people. And I finally was like, enough. Like I could not, I was like so like in the mix of all the things and all the meetings. It was just like, one, I need a break, but also two, it was just like the spaces that I needed to be in, I couldn't do a recording. Like everything for me, like need I was like, okay, I need to make it to this class live, because if it's not live, I can't do it. Like I won't be able to like make that commitment. And so over time, bit by bit, it's a practice that is no longer the case, right? So like the for folks who have followed Tracy Stanley, the rest cave that she offered, not this past winter, but the winter before last. So look, what is time, right? We're in 2024 when we're recording this. So this had to have been winter of 2022. Thank goodness, like I was in a space where I was like, okay, I can like do these recordings. Like there are some practices on there. I'm just like, oh my gosh, like I have stuff downloaded on the phone. Like I try to do like the sleep practice, you know, a couple times a week, right? Be like as I'm going to bed, or like sometimes in the middle of the day, I'll just take like 15 minutes because there's a householder practice that she has. And like I just feel so refreshed after I do it, right? But it's like you've got to make time and space to do that. But I always tell folks, like, start small, right? Like, just like Adriana was telling me, even if it's like 5 minutes a day, and you might back it up, it might be that you put on this thing, you can look it up, this like 2 minute timer. I don't know. I think Calm created it. And like literally you just like do nothing for 2 minutes. And if you touch the cursor, like literally it starts the clock over for 2 minutes. But like do nothing for 2 minutes. And it's so hard for some of us to like do that. And I find that in a lot of the spaces that I am interfacing with folks, there's always some rest component. Like I didn't realize that like that was happening, but like even in this Family Voices United work, like we're doing some learning sessions with some of the states that are part of the network. And like now Rest to Create Change, which is a part of the website, is up. And like one of their homeworks was to, okay, you need to like find a rest practice and do some one of these rest practices a couple times a week, right? Like we took time like during the session to like rest. I said, okay, before we go into the breakout session, we're going to take 5 minutes to do one of these Adriana videos that I have from when I was leading this COVID response project for the CDC. So, and their Learning Signs Act early program. So yeah, like rest is this kind of like seeped in to like every fiber of my being. And like, I know the benefits and I want others to know the benefit too.
Yeah, I appreciate everything you shared, and in particular the calling in of so many teachers, Adriana and Tracy and Octavia, who are teaching us how to rest and the value of rest, and all of the folks you named are friends and teachers of mine too, and inspirations for rest. And I'm also thinking about the pattern that can be formed around not resting or not being still, or, and rest doesn't necessarily mean stillness. I want to say that, but, or not doing anything for 2 minutes, right? That there's this for many reasons can be a push and drive to keep going, or we're just in a patterned behavior or conditioned response and may not even know it. And so I'm curious for you to share some, since you're passionate about rest and practice, what you notice in yourself as a result of making space to rest and really making it part of your practice. And it sounds like something that is essential for you at this time in your life.
So I'm going to go back to 2018. So this is even before I really got deep into, because this was like 2020, 2021, when I really got connected to all of them. But as I mentioned, my coach, Natalie Miller, she was just starting off as a life coach. And locally here in DC, she formerly in another life, she owned a yoga studio. And I signed up. So there's always this like sleep and rest component. But like, again, like I'm looking back now and can see it. Whereas before, you know, who knows, right? It was like, what's the forest for the trees? But I remember I was in a space with a former employer where I wasn't necessarily really happy. And I knew I needed something. And I saw that Natalie was offering this Make Way for Better Sleep. Like it was like a living yoga class, living yoga series that she had offered. And there was a group coaching component and then a weekly yoga class. At that point, like my schedule didn't match up to go to the yoga class. And so basically we worked it out. So I actually got like my first, instead of going to yoga classes, I got a one-on-one coaching session with her. And like, that's what started our coaching relationship, really. And that call, that first call was so transformative. But in that space, we talked about creating a bedtime routine. And just in doing that, like every night, I was like 8 o'clock, like, okay, these are the things that I need to do. And like to get ready, I'm starting by 10 o'clock. I was in the bed, lights out. So this is before pandemic. Of course, pandemic happened. Everybody's sleep, I think, went to who knows where. Why? Because we on Zoom all day. No shade to Zoom. Zoom is a beautiful thing, but you know, blue light, all these things, right? That they say. So I noticed in taking time to ensure that I was resting well, sleeping, that I felt sharper, that I felt clearer. So like not just sharper mentally, but just like my system was just like more, the word is coming up, it's like modulated, calm, right? And I really was thinking, okay, like I can like start to make some moves now, right? Like when you're in a space when you're just kind of like tired and beat down, like it's like slodging through, right? I was just like, oh, like this mud, like that's the visual that's coming up for me. And so I started like doing this bedtime routine and going to bed, and like things started to shift, right? And then like fast forward, you know, to the pandemic and getting LinkedIn with all these teachers, again, it was just like, oh, there was like such relief in being in those spaces and taking that time for myself. And it just really allowed me to connect with myself on a deeper level, right? And to be able to see a lot clearer. And this is the second time I'm noticing, the second time I'm talking about like clarity and being able to like, to see and like understand things. And so I have noticed that it helps me to be more open and to also get things done. So one of the things that Natalie and I have talked about is, you know, what's the quality versus like the quantity of work, right? And this is deeply countercultural, right? Like work a 9 to 5, you do all these things, you get paid, right? But if I'm providing quality work, like how does that necessarily equate to a 9 to 5, right? And Natalie is a white woman. I'm African American, right? I'm a Black woman. And so for me to be saying this, like I'm sure folks are like, okay, well, like what? Like what's she saying? But like it's true. I'm finding that like it's about the quality of work that I'm doing, that I don't necessarily need to work, you know, a 9 to 5 every day and be able to sustain myself. Now in 2018, when I started working with her, that was not the case. I was scared to death. I needed my job, like all these things, but like resting, being clear, being open, because of that rest, because of sleeping, right, and taking care of myself. And it's not, and those are components of that, right? When we think about rest, and this is something that's important too, right? Sometimes it is you take a nap and you lay down. Sometimes it's like listen to music. Sometimes it's dancing, right? Like whatever rest can be for you. Some rest can be like sitting and having a cup of tea, right? Like whatever rest looks like for you. And so this is my way. I do all the other things too, but like I like to lay down because when I go hard, and I'm going hard because I'm not just taking care of myself. I'm taking care of a lot of people. Like the things that I'm trying to do are going to be life changing, right? And I believe that, and I know that, like deep in my being, right? I'm getting a lot of messages that are confirming that. And so if that's the case, right, like we can't do anything for anybody else unless we fill our cup. And so that therefore means for me that like there needs to be a lot of filling, right? Quality filling, deep filling, like from multiple sources. And so I hope that answers your question, but I just, that's what comes up for me and what I'm feeling like when I'm well rested. When I'm not, you know, it's this like slogging through. And I'm sure many people who are listening, and maybe in your case too, Michelle, like when you're so tired and you're trying to work through something, and like I think you actually described this at one of the workshops, that you were like trying to work on a newsletter and you left and you went to a yoga class and you came back and like what you were like when you came back, you were able to do it. Like how many times have I like tried to work on my newsletter for my nonprofit or tried to work on something and then like you just kind of, I gotta push through, I gotta get it done because like that's what society wants us to do. And then it's like, no, like I gotta stop. You stop and you pause, you walk away, you go do something else. You know, you replenish yourself. You have a drink of water. You have a cup of tea. I like tea, right? But you do whatever you need to do. You know, you come back and then like, oh, it's done in like 10, 15 minutes, right? So it's definitely a different way of being. And I recognize that it's countercultural, but and it is a practice because it sometimes it's hard being in this body, right? And doing this and saying this, but I also know deeply that it's important for me to be in this body and say that. And I tell, you know, families that I interface with, I'm like, sometimes you need the permission to like rest. I've been in support groups that I used to lead, and I say to them, you know, we can be in this space, right? And we could talk about resting, but sometimes you need permission to rest, right? So one for you all who are listening, and if you don't rest, one, I'm giving you permission because sometimes you got to rest for other people. And two, seriously, like I've told family members, you know, parents and caregivers, in the community, autism community, I'm like, sometimes you gotta just rest, like you gotta like rest so you could be available for your kid, right? Like so you can support them. And over time, I find, right, that the rest that this resting becomes your own, right? This taking time for yourself becomes your own. This is something that we have to build a muscle to do. And like I think back to, you know, when my son was little before he was diagnosed, like I went through, was into yoga. Like I always wanted to do yoga because I hadn't done yoga before. Like when I was pregnant with him, I didn't do, you know, you read stuff. It's like, okay, maybe now's not the time. Like if I had been practicing, I would be doing the prenatal yoga, right? But I was like, no. But I was like, once I have my baby, I'm gonna do yoga. And I did it. I started going to yoga classes, and I was like so into it, right, that I ended up doing my 200-hour yoga teacher training. But then there were things going on with my son, and I needed to like focus on him, right? And like it became all encompassing focus on him that I wasn't even doing my yoga, right? And so the other piece too, and I want to acknowledge this is, you know, there are ebbs and flows in life, right? But as I look back And I think about it, I wish that I had not stopped doing the yoga, even with all the things that I had going on with him, because I really think that it, like, I have been able to do a lot of things and have supported him and started my nonprofit. But like, I'm like, wow, imagine like now from this point of view, like what I could have done if I was even more rested then. So sometimes you gotta rest for other, we have to rest for other people until we can rest for ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much in what you shared, this piece about permission to rest and the pieces of what you shared that are countercultural. And I started to think, well, whose culture? It was my question. It's not actually a question for you. It's what came up after you said it twice. And I was thinking about, yes, I mean, my ancestors did not have, at a certain point, perhaps there was space to rest, but my enslaved ancestors did not have time to rest. That was not the project of America. That is not
No,
what
it
was
was
going
not.
on. And so
Right.
there was no time to rest. There was, you know, white supremacy using bodies to labor in these ways that are horrific and inhumane. And I'm present to that and what you named about sometimes we have to rest for others because Octavia talks about like resting for your ancestors who didn't weren't able to rest, and also present, and that sort of them thinking about the flow of energy and lineage then, and thinking about what you named about resting, becoming your own after a while. So even if you're resting, you've been given permission or given yourself permission to rest, that it may take a little while to claim that as a practice, and a little while before it becomes, you know, one's own, right? Something that they feel like is a practice for them that they must do to sustain themselves, which is what it sounds like your practice of rest has become. And the relationship between resting and what we do in the world, work, practice, community, and relationship, and also relationship to self. But specifically the piece you mentioned about caregiving and telling parents, like, you need to rest so you can be there for your child, or you need to rest so you can be there for whomever it might be, or whatever it is that we're in service of, in service to. So I'm thinking about all the different ways you spoke about rest. And I would offer that I also heard you talk about yoga and wishing that you had continued to practice the kind of yoga you were practicing after your son was born, that you wish you hadn't given that up. And I was thinking, well, your yoga became your caregiving of your son. It's not exactly the yoga that you were
No.
used to, and it's not just for you and your time, but it is a practice of yoga to caregive. The little bit I know about what you've named about it, like to actively caregive and be present and support. So I'm just appreciating the different ways we can practice. Yeah, and all the ways you talked about rest as well.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you saying that. And I think, yeah, like owning that. You know, we think about like taking yoga off the mat, right? And like what that means and being in service to others, right? Like, you're absolutely right. Like, that's what I was doing. And, but I was not, like, I can say that I was not putting myself as a priority. It was all about my son. And I say this with so much love. I want people to understand I wouldn't give anything for him. But I also know, again, by doing the work that I'm doing, and like I can do so much more when I'm self-centered. And I don't mean self-centered in a negative way. I really mean it from this, I need to honor myself so that again, I can more fully embrace who I am, who I'm meant to be in the world, how I help others, because that is like I know that that is a part of who I am. I mean, there's no mistake, like my name Yetta is Old English and it means giver. So, like, that is like talking about being anointed, right? From birth with a name. And then my middle name is Imani. So, like, giver of faith is what, like, some people are like, well, what does this mean? I remember this guy in, when who was an intern and a former employee said, like, well, what does that mean, Yetta? Like, and I'm like, well, you, I know what it means. So,
And that's what
whether
matters.
you, right, that's what matters, right? Right. But no, in all seriousness, like we can laugh about it. I mean, it's funny because I was just like, how annoying. But yeah, like really truly believe that I've like embraced like what my name means. Like I think that like by doing the things that I'm doing, I'm helping people to find like hope and faith in like something better, right? And because there is something better than like what's going on in the world right now. And but also being present and recognizing that like to be human and to be alive is a beautiful thing too, right? And I think it's this and but thing, right? Like there's duality. And I think, you know, coming back to like this self-study and understanding that there are so many things that could be true at the same time, and how do we hold them both lightly, right? And I think that that has been like this thing that I am like constantly practicing and working through, like working, but like also finding time to rest. Like, how do I work? How do I do work that I love? Right? Like, how am I compensated for things that I love doing versus like doing things to like just pay the bills, right? And the reality is like specifically in the Black and African American community, what? No, girl, you get paid. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what does it matter? It does matter for my well-being, right? And especially when I think about, you know, we're talking about, you know, our enslaved ancestors, right? Like that wasn't, they did not have a choice. And so for a really long time, like we, I think, have in thinking about that and holding on to that, and I think about like the ancestral memory, have held on to that for a long time. And I'm not saying that's not valid, but again, how do I honor them and recognize that like this was their reality, but also how do I move forward? And so in listening to the things that, you know, Octavia has taught about like the ancestors and others, you know, like I think about even in the books that you've written, Michelle, we talk about the ancestors and how important, you know, they are. Like that's something that I don't take lightly, right? Like I know that sacrifices have been made for me to be who I am right now, and I honor that. And also too, I'm like, how do I propel that forward, right? Like, because I'm trying to think of which of your books where you talk about, is it The Living Ancestor, right? Where you are,
It's in
yeah, I did a
Finding
deep dive,
Refuge. You
Michelle.
did.
Yes.
It's in Finding Refuge and We Heal Together both have a living ancestor.
And it's like I want to like be the best of who they are, right? And also like contribute to that. Like that's really important to me. Like I feel myself like getting full, but that's really important to me because both my grandmothers, my mom and my dad's mother, they were domestic engineers. They raise other people's children, right? And you know, I'm not first generation to go to college, but I'm second generation. And like, thank God that I have been able to do that. And it's like, how do I take my education and like educate other people? It might not be in a classroom or, but like, I really truly feel like I have something to contribute to the world. And like, and I want to share that with folks, right? Like we all, I think, have a reason to be here. Many of us don't always have the means to like tap into that. But I think that like by doing this reflection, these practices, these devotions, this like self reflection and work, that I'm like tapping into that. And like that's a gift. And I don't take that lightly.
Yeah, I feel that from you, that you don't take it lightly, and your commitment to doing what it is you are meant to do and to evolve into that too. I mean, the form and shape it takes may shift throughout time, or at least that's been my experience, but the purpose has pretty much stayed the same. It's just the expression of purpose has shifted. And I really appreciate the emotion, the feeling around how serious it is, right? To know that you're here on purpose, to be able to have practices and access to practices and tools that allow you to more deeply tap into it and sustain it. and the link between you and your ancestors and the connection to purpose and not wanting to take the opportunities you have for granted. And I also really, I'm so glad you named that sometimes people don't have the resources to tap into purpose in the way you were talking about, because there's all this like stuff out in the wellness industry or self-help industry, as if everyone is starting from the same place and has the same resources to access that, or do these 10 things and you will access your purpose. And it's just not how it is. It's not cookie cutter like that, right? It's not prescriptive. And we have, one of my shamanic teachers always says this, like, if your ancestors had the resources that you have, Michelle, what would they do? And it's a reminder for me that, oh, they were in a different space, in different conditions, were in place. And also a reminder to do exactly what you named. Do your work, do your practice, Michelle. Show up in the world alive, like fully show up. I always think about my teacher saying that to me in that way of like, don't take it for granted. You're doing something because of the resources you've had access to. Not everyone has this, not everyone in your lineage. So do something with it. It's such a call and also a place to come back to remember. So I appreciate the way you named that. And I'm wondering, and this might be my final question for now, although I know we'll be in conversations in the future more. I'm thinking about what you just named and shared about yourself. And I'm wondering, this isn't where I was going to go, but I want to go there, how we, people listening, how I can support what it is you're creating in the world. And there may be real tangible ways we can support it. I also mean your dream for what it is you're creating and how can we be part of that and support you? And maybe it's just you stating what it is, what you understand about what you're cultivating right now.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that question. And I'm not going to say, I don't know. That's what I want to say, but I'm going to take
you do
this.
Know.
So
mm-hmm.
Yes, I do know. And so like, one of the things really is, you know, building space for folks to be together and like learn and understand like how to navigate these systems. So like that's one thing that's like really important to me that and I've said this time and time again that like my son is not the challenge for me. His autism, like any of that's not the challenge. The challenge is the systems that people need to navigate. And so like even with the nonprofit that I run, like there is no money, you all. Like the things that I do, like I have just literally been like doing this stuff because I want to. And then like I consult on the side and do other autism related work. So one is like always like donations and like supports of time, like people who know how to like write grants. So like that's the dream, like for my nonprofit and help with that. The other thing too is like part of the reason why you and I are connected is writing. And so I'm working on two book projects. One is about my son. He is an artist and like helping like the process of like how he has grown and like this transition to adulthood that we're going through and like displaying that. So I'm working on that book. And then I know there's another longer form book, probably about like more about my story and like navigating the systems again to like help folks to understand what the process, you know, what the processes are, is another piece. But I think like having a space so that when people think about autism, when they think about disability, that we're in a world where it's not the people with the disabilities who have the issue, but it's the systems that they have to navigate. And how do we make the world more accessible to them, right? Where families who might be just trying to understand what the disability is, right, can like navigate a world that's like kind and like is more supportive and understanding, right? We talk so much about individuality, but I think people who are marginalized are left out of that conversation. And so how do we create a space where people can be individuals and honored, but also are included in the world more holistically, right? Not just for when it suits a particular situation. So that would be the ideal dream for me, because my son is a black man. I'm saying this, like, he's 20 years old and moving in the world. And, I try not to worry, but I worry, right? Because he presents as typical, but like language has always been a challenge for him. So if he's, if he can like stand there and wait and he's not displaying behaviors, right? Like no one's gonna know the difference. And I'm like, being kind and being open and understanding of things that you do not, even if don't understand, like that goes a long way. But just being open to like difference, I think, is like this real key thing at the core of like what I'm here to do, to help disability become more quote unquote normalized, whatever normal is, right?
Yeah, thanks for sharing the dreams you have and how we can hold them with you and very tangibly. So we'll put a link to your nonprofit in the show notes so people can donate and support. And if they have grant writing experience, follow up with you about that and support your books that you are working on right now and your process around them and what you named about kindness and openness. And I heard not responding with fear, even if we encounter something we don't understand or someone who may be expressing themselves in a different way and we don't understand. How can we respond with openness and care? And that's really the world in which you want to live and want your son to experience and want us all really to experience. So thank you for sharing that, and thanks for being in conversation with me today and in community with me and on the path and all the things. I love what you're up to, and I can't wait to continue to see things come to fruition, and am deeply grateful for who you are and what you create in this world, this spinning world, I always say. I'm grateful
Yes,
for
I'm
you.
grateful for you too, Michelle. Thank you for letting me be on your podcast. Yay.
Well, you called this into being, even if you didn't
That's
speak
true.
it to me. And someone received the message and was like,
And
ask Yetta to
delivered
be
it.
on your. Yeah, that's what happened. So
Yes.
thank you,
Thank
oracles,
you,
ancestors.
ancestors. Yes. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Finding Refuge. If you are enjoying the podcast, I encourage you to share it with friends and family members and to rate it on iTunes. In addition to sharing about this podcast, you can support my work in the world by becoming a patron on Patreon. You can find me there as Michelle C. Johnson, Skill in Action, Yoga and Social Justice. I offer monthly movement practices as well as monthly divination readings. Lastly, I want to share that I have a new book that came out in August of 2023. The book is titled A Space for Us, A Guide for Leading Black, Indigenous, and People of Color Affinity Groups, published by Beacon Press. This book is a love song and a gift to Black, Indigenous, and people of color, as well as people of the global majority. I encourage you to purchase it if you are interested in facilitating affinity groups for BIPOC and people of the global majority, and if you're interested in learning more about anti-racism work. In addition, many of you know, We Heal Together came out in April of 2023. And thank you for your support of We Heal Together. And I hope you continue to support it and work with it and move through the rituals and practices to build community and connection. Thank you so much, and take care.